Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 6. There was a lady working at home on her computer when she suddenly noticed that her laptop said that the battery was low and the computer was about to shut down. She thought, well, that's weird. I know I plugged it in. Following the laptop cord to the extension cord, she finally noticed that the extension cord wasn't plugged into the wall, it was plugged back into itself. This morning, my question to you is where are you plugged in? Where are you plugged in? Everyone is plugged in somewhere. We all look for the power, the reason to keep living. We all look for something to give us enough gladness of heart to go on. Are you finding that power in the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Think back to Romans 4, 3 weeks ago, where Paul clearly teaches that salvation is by faith in accordance with grace. You did not earn your right relationship with Christ. You were not born a child of God. He has redeemed you and He has adopted you. Last week we looked at the teachings of Jesus about prayer and the intimacy it makes possible. Are you praying for people by name to come to know Christ? Well, today I want us to think about and deal with this question of where we're plugged in, but in terms of, do you have gladness of heart? Do you have joy? The follower of Jesus knows the only place to find the gladness of heart to power life is in being plugged into the power of Jesus. Where are you plugged in? 2 Samuel, we're going to start in verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1. Now David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim. They placed the ark of God on a new cart that they might bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. So they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Ahio was walking ahead of the ark. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood and with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah. And God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God. David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah, and that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. So David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" And David was unwilling to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David with him. But David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Thus the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him on account of the ark of God." David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And so it was that when the bearers of the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. Then it happened, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Further, he distributed to all the people, to all the multitude of Israel, both to men and women, a cake of bread and one of dates and one of raisins to each. Then all the people departed each to his house. But when David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants, maids, as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord. I will be more lightly esteemed than this and will be humble in my own eyes. But with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished." Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. Where are you plugged in? Where are you plugged in? Do you have gladness of heart? Do you have joy? You stay plugged in with Christ by never disregarding God's clear instructions. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments." Let me tell you, you are not in a position to negotiate. David had not long been king over Israel after dealing with all the years of intrigue and maneuverings, and finally Saul was dead. And those who had remained loyal to Saul had finally gone away and been put in their place, and David had been anointed king. And so now his desire is to have the Ark of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant containing the tablets of the Ten Commandments, the Ark being the very symbol of God's presence. He desired for it to come to what we know as Jerusalem, the city of David. The Philistines had had it for a long time and contained it. And about 70 years before this, they had taken it and put it where they was in this guy's house. And finally, he's going to go after it. And so Abinadab, the man who possessed it, who took care of it, they had brought it to his house on a cart. So when David and the men go and everybody, 30,000 people, I mean, it was not a small crowd that was going. This was a big deal. They were going to bring the Ark of the Covenant. They were going to bring the very presence of God to the city of David. And so they go, but they made a mistake. They put it on a cart. And when they, and it, I don't know if you noticed, but a couple different times it says that where Abinadab lived was up on a hill. And so you kind of get the idea that as the cart's going down, maybe the ark got sideways some way or another with itself. And Uzzah reaches out because he was afraid it was about to fall, and God struck him dead. You say, "Well, that was a little extreme, wasn't it?" But that's what God said to do. They were to treat the Ark of the Covenant very respectfully. They were not to ever touch it. They were to carry it by poles. It was created, it was made, it was fashioned so that they could slip the poles through there. But David should have known that, and I believe did know that, but they, "Well, that's the way we've always done it." And Uzzah was struck dead. They disregarded God's clear instructions. And so God struck him down for his irreverence. Will you obey God's word? Have you ever started to do something and you thought, "That just doesn't make sense. I'm going to do it this way." The classic example is Jell-O. Now, I'm not a big cook, and I've made Jell-O about twice in my life, but I understand this, that if you're going to make regular Jell-O, that you have to boil the water first. And if you keep reading the instructions, it says, then place in the refrigerator. And more than one person has said, well, why should I boil the water if I'm going to put it in the refrigerator? Because if you don't boil the water, the Jell-O won't set.
Well, that doesn't make sense to me.
You cannot disregard the instructions. Are there any clear instructions from the Lord that you are disregarding? I am amazed at how many believers will marry a non-believer and say, well, I didn't know that, when God has given us His instructions in His Word. Let me give you a definition of a word, and that word is serious or seriously. It means to pay attention to and show that it matters, to have it cause change in your life. And this, I want to say to you, is about your attitude towards God's instructions. Do you take God's word seriously? Are you serious about what God's word says? Let me tell you, I didn't know that, or I never read that does not hold water, when if we would just read it, we would have read it. We are to have this change in our life from what God's Word says. As one commentator said, when people are no longer awed, respectful, or fearful of God's holiness, the community is put at risk. Where are we as a country then? When we don't want to hear what God's Word says, when we want to live our lives the way we think we ought to live them, we're in deep trouble, folks. We're in deep trouble. So when you pray, are you praying for God's kingdom to come? Are you praying allegiance to Him? We are to stay plugged in. You stay plugged in with Christ by celebrating His presence. Rejoice in the Lord always. We get to be in relationship with Him. We get to be in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ because He did willingly take on the form of man. And He was willing to submit Himself to the cross. Let me tell you, that was a shameful, shameful way to die. And then God raised Him on that third day. We get to be in relationship. He wants us to be in relationship with Him. David was with all the house of Israel. They were celebrating enthusiastically before the Lord. They were excited about being before Him. They played all sorts of instruments and sang songs as they went, somewhat parade style, you might say. There were no pianos, there were no organs, but it was guitars and tambourines and trumpets. Then the incident with Uzzah, which had nothing to do with the music or celebrating. So the ark gets parked at Obed-Edom's house because David was afraid to bring it on into Jerusalem. No doubt the best 3 months of Obed-Edom's life. Later, David sees how the Lord blesses and he brings the ark on into the city. And again, he did it with gladness. He did it in worship. He did it with enthusiasm. It says that they took 6 steps and they stopped and worshiped. It's kind of like they took a Sabbath day right in the middle of the parade. They stop and they worship. And David was worshiping as he was singing and dancing around. Now, let me tell you, you don't want this pastor to do that. Singing, okay, but the dancing, no. No. He worshiped in gladness. It says that he danced before the Lord with all his might, shouting as he danced. He was glad to be in God's presence. And worship was real for him. It was significant. It was life-changing. This morning, will you celebrate the presence of Christ? February 21st, 2005 was one of my better days. I was standing out in a fairly large group of people out in a field. And it was a good day, not because of where we were or how many there were. It was a good day because of the presence of one person. I was standing here. I looked over to my left, and my son Jeff was standing over here. My wife Kim and my daughter Lauren were standing over here, and over to my right was my oldest son. And while if you have ever welcomed a loved one home from war, you know something of what I experienced that day. And I remember thinking, are you going to hug Jamie forever? He was hugging his now wife. I didn't need him to do anything. I didn't need to hug him, and had I never hugged him, it had been all right. It was enough for me just to be in his presence. When you came in this morning, is that something of the sense you had? That it was enough just to be in Christ's presence to worship him? Or did you come in reluctantly with a certain amount of dread, either because you didn't want to be here or you were afraid to be in God's presence? Let me give you a definition of a second word, and that is solemn. The expression on your face when you're somewhere you don't want to be or doing something you don't want to do. Think root canal. But solemn can also mean something that you are deeply sincere about. And if that's how you want to define solemn, then I am solemn with you. I am solemn with you. While I think we need to be serious about worship, about following Christ, I don't think we always have to be solemn about it. Stay plugged in. You become unplugged when you wrongly begin to focus on others. When you wrongly begin to focus on others, keep your eye on the prize. In the crowd the day David brought the ark into Jerusalem was his wife, Michal. She did not focus on the Lord. She was not worshiping him, but she was looking at other people, especially, specifically her husband. And while their relationship was interesting, there is a place in Scripture where it says that Michal loved David. After the ark gets put into its place in this tent that they've erected and all the offerings are made, David blesses the people in the name of the Lord and distributes to them food. Then he goes home to bless his house, to bless his home. And when David was there, and Michal meets him at the door, and she unloaded on him. Her despising him in her heart came out in words. She criticized him severely. She didn't think David fit the image of a king. As Paul put it in Romans 14, she was one of the ones weak in the faith who was quick to express her opinion. She said, oh, how the king distinguished himself today. Can't you just see it? She just kind of had that sneer on her face. What a fool for dancing. And David's reply was, well, think what you will. I would rather be thought of poorly by man than by the Lord. He is number one in my life. He is my audience of one. And Scripture doesn't really say what the Lord's opinion of Michal was, but it does say that she never had a child. This morning, will you focus on the Lord? I have always been amazed to see military troops marching. Think back to film clips that you've seen, either of Nazi Germany or the Soviet Union or China's troops. They march in lockstep. I mean, hundreds, if not thousands, of men doing the exact same thing at the exact same time. And some think church and worship should be just the same. Everyone forced into the same mold, doing the same things in the same way at the same time. Let us not focus on each other. Let us focus on the Lord. When you came in this morning, where was your focus? Was it on Christ? Did you come here this morning to worship the Lord? Or did you come to see who else was here? Maybe you came to try to figure out what others thought of you. Did you dress to impress? Did you show up to be seen? Do you think things have to be done a certain way or can't be done at all because of the way you want to maintain things? Let me put the two definitions together. While I do think we need to take following Jesus seriously, we don't always have to be solemn about it in the negative sense. Worship, whether singing or communion or praying or whatever, should be taken seriously. But it doesn't have to be and maybe shouldn't ever be solemn in that negative sense. Is it any wonder people, young people especially, have left the church? We in the church may be too dead in the world's eyes to show the abundant life that Jesus offers. Don't focus on other people. Focus on Him. Focus on Christ. And stay plugged in to Him. Then your battery will stay charged and you will continue to function. This morning, is your life marked by gladness of heart? Do you have joy? This world, our world today is, and I don't know if it's worse or we just know about it more. But we are all about enjoyment. We all want to have a good time. Well, let me tell you, if you don't have Christ, no matter what you're doing, you may enjoy it for the second, for the very brief moment, but you'll never be happy forever. Because it is the joy of knowing Christ that is the bedrock of it all. So is there anything in your life that you have not been following God's clear instruction about? Anything the moment I said that the Lord brought, said that the Lord brought to your mind, that may be the thing. Be obedient today. Are you celebrating His presence today? Are you worshiping? Does just knowing Him make life worth living? Or are you too focused on others, what they think, what they're doing, what they have? Do you have gladness of heart? Do you have joy?